Welcome to the Kelly Patrick Show. Thank you so much for tuning in today's episode, I am joined by Nathan Maness, the best MMA fighter ever from the state of Kentucky. Technically born in Tennessee, but he's a legend. I'm so fortunate I got to attend many of his fights here within the state and have been, you know, as big of a Nathan Maness fan as anyone has been, as he's went to win five fights in the UFC, and now he's looking to extend his unbeaten streak for Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship. He's headlining a card next month, so May 22nd, 2026, in Palm Desert, California. He's matched up for the vacant championship against Jamel Herring, 135-pound belt. Really appreciate Nathan joining me for the show today. I want to thank the sponsors for the Kelly Patrick Show, which include Louisville Combat Academy, located at 7908 Beulah Church Road. I attend a kickboxing class there, taught by Graham Gordon on Thursdays at 6:30 p.m. They run a great 10th Planet no-gi jiu-jitsu program. They've got a great kids program, women's program. They've got kickboxing, MMA. They've got it all at 10th Planet Louisville Combat Academy there on Beulah Church Road. I want to thank Matt McCarthy, as always. He's the producer for The Kelly Patrick Show. And if you really want to support The Kelly Patrick Show, you want to continue to see Kelly Patrick Show episodes in 2027, 2028, 2029. Send me some health insurance referrals. You know someone who's on a Medicare Advantage plan. They want to shop their coverage. They're turning age 65 soon. They need help with their Medicare coverage. Or even if they're 25 years old and they need health insurance. Or... So there's three types of scenarios: Medicare eligible individuals, anyone who needs health insurance, and then also if someone owns a business in the state of Kentucky and they want to shop their current group health insurance coverage, or maybe they have a two or three person group and they want to establish group health insurance coverage, send me some referrals. I'd be more than happy to help with those that type of business. Thanks to everyone for tuning in. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Kelly Patrick Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. In today's episode, we are joined by Kentucky combat sports legend, Nathan Maness. Nathan, how are you today?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me on.
I appreciate you coming on the show, man. For those of our listeners who don't know, I started attending MMA events in the year 2013. One of the first fighters I saw on a card locally, I think maybe it was Lexington. Did you fight in Lexington?
Yeah, I fought Jeremy Pender in Lexington.
Okay.
About 2013, 2014, yeah.
Okay, so I saw a few different cards with Nathan Maness on, and Todd Neal, who is my buddy, who was bringing me to the shows, was always saying, watch out for this guy. And so I was very new to the sport, but I got to see Nathan Maness fight pretty early in his career, and certainly early in me even knowing what the sport of MMA was. Of course, Nathan went on to a very successful pro career, fought many fights in the UFC, is now getting ready to prepare for next month. He has a big bare knuckle fight coming up against Jamel Herring, so like a very accomplished boxer. How are you doing, Nathan? Before we jump into previewing that fight, you got a little shiner on your eye. Tell me, how's everything going for you?
Yeah, everything's good, man. Working hard, putting myself in the mix, taking hard shots, giving hard shots, breaking down the cardio, building it back up, doing everything that's required to be a champion.
Okay. And Jamel Herring, man, if you look at his resume, he's a boxer, of course. You look at some of these names, just looking across, you know, Lamont Roach Jr., he beat Carl Frampton, he lost to Shakur Stevenson, certainly no shame there, but just the who's who of accomplished boxers on this guy's resume. Is this your first time preparing for someone with that type of a boxing pedigree?
Yeah, probably so. The good news is that we're not boxing. Bare knuckle boxing isn't boxing. I can grab a hold of you. I can throw you around. You got to be worried about your punch placement. Not everybody's willing to have their hands broken. It doesn't really bother me. Not everybody wants to get cut up and diced with knuckles. I don't really care too much about it. I think I'm willing to fist fight, and he might want to box, but we're going to fight that night. And, I'm sure he's got some tricks I haven't seen. I'm sure he's going to move his feet, try to throw his jab, bounce around. But this rule set benefits me. I've been grappling my whole life, wrestling. I can grab a hold of you, throw you around. I think I'm going to be a lot more physical than he's ever had in a boxing match, where gloves don't really let you grab a hold of people. I think I'm going to show some stuff that he hasn't seen, the same way he'll show some stuff that I haven't seen. But I feel really disciplined and doing the work that I need to be doing.
You fought, how many fights did you fight in the UFC?
Five and two.
5-2 in the UFC. I'll ask some personal questions, if that's all right. How is the pay in bare knuckle compared to the UFC?
The UFC is on a show win structure. So let's just say 20 to show up, another 20 to win, 40. My bare knuckle is just flat fee. Once I show up and the bell rings, I get paid the same no matter what happens. So it definitely opens up. You're willing to give it a little bit extra. You don't have to really worry about winning. Obviously, we want that, but you don't have to. It's not like your family is dependent on the win. You don't have to, make sure you get that extra win bonus and this and that. So I'm pretty much free to just go in there and fist fight.
But it's pretty similar pay, pretty similar income.
Yeah, obviously the UFC bonuses are a lot bigger. If you're going to win a bonus, it's going to definitely change things, which I had an opportunity to win quite a few. But yeah, just the flat money. The BKFC pays me great.
It's guaranteed really money, so you know you're going to get paid a certain amount when you sign up for it, regardless of what happens. So from the sake of a business perspective, maybe it's a little easier. I mean, easier to budget in and to commit to and then to plan with that type of income.
Yeah, and it also went up with the title fight, so I had no reservations before. I'm really happy where we're at now.
Okay. Why do you think a guy like Jamel Herring is switching over from boxing to bare knuckle? That because boxing gets paid pretty good, especially if you got a name like that. I wonder why he's jumping over to it.
Yeah, I think he's pretty much best friends with like Austin Trout, and he's been over at the bare knuckle. I think he might have even won the 170 belt, maybe something like that. I don't think he's competed in boxing since 2020, 2021. Guys get bored, man. I understand it. I don't really know what else to do with myself if I'm not fighting. Maybe he feels the same way. I think he brings a lot of skills and stuff like that, but I just think that he's probably bored sat at home and he wants to do something with his life. And I mean, I get it. Once you're an athlete, there's really nothing else that's going to give you that feeling or that motivation or that high.
So this is a title fight.
Correct. Yep.
What weight class?
135.
Okay. Is that your most comfortable weight class? How do you compare fighting at 135? Because you ended up at 125 in the UFC. How do you compare fighting at 135 bare knuckle versus your time in the sport of MMA?
Yeah, a little easier and not as big. Like, guys can't hold you down. They can't take you down and hold you down. They can't use their size, so it doesn't affect you as much. I did cut to my last fight was at 130, and I fought the number two 125 guy. He kind of came up and met me at 130. I don't know if there's a reason to cut that low. Guys can't really grab a hold of me. I feel really strong at 35. It was just the Umars of the world that could hold you down and kind of just stop your game plan. But I don't see that in bare knuckle. We're going to fist fight either way. Nobody's going to hold on to me at 135 and muscle me around. So I don't think it's really worth the cut. I'm still willing to do it. If the right opportunity comes, I'd like to not just win this belt. I have pretty big aspirations. I'm still pretty young and this is so much easier to train for than wrestling every day and doing jiu-jitsu and getting your neck cranked on and your back stuffed with takedowns and things like that. It's just boxing. It seems really easy to me, really simple. I think I can do this for a long time, God permitting. So yeah, I'd like to bounce around. I could do 35, 45, 25. I could do whatever is asked for me.
So if you win this, you're the 135 champ. What would be after that? What would be the next goal?
Yeah, so the original 35 champ got stripped just because he kind of wanted to bounce around. They don't really let their champs bounce around. Does it feel right to win the belt, the vacant belt? And I'd like to give at least the former champ an opportunity if he was interested and wanted to. That's Justin Iberola, Joy Boy is what he has to go by. There's a lot of guys calling me out for the bare knuckle. You know, I haven't earned my shot, my resume, and this and that. I'll sign the contract for any of these guys. If they want to fight, just line them up.
Okay. What can you tell me about your training for the bare knuckle? Like, you got a little shiner on your eye, don't you?
Yeah, this is actually a head kick. I'm fine with a lot of kickboxers. I run my gym here, so we got MMA guys, we got kickboxers, we got jiu-jitsu guys. It's actually a toenail. As I was sliding out, just kind of sliced me a little bit. Nothing too crazy. I'm working hard. You can't really prepare for bare knuckles, so I'm still using my small MMA gloves. You can't just go bust at people with your, you know, bare knuckles, and your hands aren't going to last very long. I'm doing the same boxing kind of stuff, just with MMA gloves. That's only an ounce or two, nothing too crazy. I'll hit mitts, bare knuckle. I'll hit the bag, bare knuckle, and just kind of boost your knuckles and things like that, and get them used to contact and things like that. But the sparring's pretty much the same. Everything's pretty much the same. It's just so much simpler. I don't have to worry about takedowns. I can literally just walk you down and force you into the game that I've been playing the entire time. My entire UFC career was just boxing mostly. I like to knock people out. I like to walk forward, and this is just the perfect sport for me.
When you were training for MMA fights all the way up through your amateur and then pro career, sometimes maybe you'd wear, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but maybe 12-ounce boxing gloves for your striking rounds, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you knew that when you're getting closer to the fight, maybe, or, you know, sometimes during your fight camp, you'd use 4-ounce gloves to get a taste of what it's really like. Is it just kind of everything's dropped down a notch, so you're using the 4-ounce gloves kind of like you used to use the 8 or 12-ounce gloves? And then do you ever do any bare knuckle sparring to prepare for this?
No bare knuckle sparring. Pretty much the sparring's the same way. Some days I like to mix it up. So some days I'm on the bag, it's bare knuckle. Some days I'm on the bag and it's 16 ounces to get that, that feel in your shoulders and having to carry the extra weight. Sometimes I'm hitting mitts, bare knuckles. Sometimes it's 16s. Sparring's the same way. Sometimes it's MMA gloves. Sometimes it's a little heavier. I like to mix and match. I don't want my body to adapt to anything. I always want to be pushing it and things like that. I don't do any bare knuckle sparring. I don't think I can get any of the guys to follow along with that. I'm trying to be the longevity is a thing too. You know, I'm 34. I don't want to be breaking my hands all the time. I'm sparring the same way I spar. And when we get in there to fight, I don't feel like I've pulled back at all. I'm still letting them go. I don't have any, I don't care to break my hands. I've done it before. I'm sure I'll do it again at some point. I just want to win. So slice me up, cut me up, break things. I don't care. I just want to win.
Do you think people adjust their punches? And what's safer, MMA or bare knuckle?
MMA. Bare knuckle, you do have to, at least they say, you have to be aware of where you're punching. You don't want to punch on the forehead and hard spots where you'll break your hand. I don't really care about that. I threw an uppercut in my very first fight. That's it's kind of been clipped on TikTok. You can kind of see it if you're looking for it. My hand swelled up pretty big after. Didn't feel it in the fight. You know, I'm just there to fight. Whatever happens after, whenever I'm at home, we'll make sure it's okay and good. That stuff doesn't really bother me. When I'm actually in the ring or in the cage, fighting's fighting. I'm not going to bow out because my hand's a little hurt.
You can't really have any bitch in you if you're doing bare knuckle, can you?
No, you're in the wrong sport.
Even more so than MMA.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously MMA, there's a lot to it. You can get elbowed, kneed. You can get a guy like Umar that'll just hold you down and elbow you to death. There's not a whole lot of, I don't want to say risk, because there's obviously risk, but I've come from a different sport that there's so many other risks. guys will grab your arm and just completely snap it. That's not a broken hand. You know, that's a serious injury. MMA, there's so many more things that can happen to you. Heel hook. Now you can't walk for 6 months.
Sure.
We're just throwing fists. It seems really simple and easy to me. I don't want to downplay it, but all you can do is punch me in the face. I think it's fine.
What can you tell me about your MMA team? You guys seem to be very active lately.
Yeah. We're going to be back at FOF, Future of Fighting, Phil Perkins in Louisville, May 29th. We got five guys on the card that Hard Rock is already match made for. Bishop Woods is going to be fighting for the 205.
I like watching that guy fight. He moves really well.
Yeah. He's 3-0, 1-0 in kickboxing. This will be his first fight at 205. He's usually a heavyweight, but only walks around about 220, 230, so it's not going to be a super hard cut for him. And like I said, we got four other guys on the card. We got Gracie Clark on this card. She just turned 18. She's 4-0 youth kickboxing, but she's done all those kickboxing against grown women.
Wow.
She is an absolute monster. She's going to bring it. We have a matchup, but it hasn't been confirmed yet. Somebody you would know, but I don't want to say too soon in case she decides to decline. But Gracie Clark is one to look out for. She's going to be in the UFC here real soon. She just turned 18. Give her 2 or 3 years tops out, and she's going to be there.
She might fight in Louisville, Kentucky, May 29th?
Yes. Wow. We have an opponent. We're waiting on the confirmation.
Wow. Okay. In Bishop Woods, you got to really enjoy working with somebody like that. Like I said, he seems to just move. You can tell his footwork and stuff seems like, to me at least, for someone who he grew up doing football, I think, but he just seems really coordinated and he seems to move really well. What are your thoughts on Bishop Woods?
Yeah, he played football at Murray State at the collegiate level, so he understands what it takes to be an athlete. He understands the recovery and what you have to give to it. That's something that really hard to teach, and it takes a little bit of time to teach, so he's already on that. He is a little bit older. He's 29 right now. He'll be 30 here in the next month or two, so we are fast tracking him. He's 3-0 right now, 1-0 kickboxing. He's going to be working hard. He wants to be on every show as long as he's healthy, and I don't see any reason that we can't get this title, knock out 2 or 3 more, turn pro, and especially if he wanted to go back up to heavyweight. The heavyweight division in the UFC, very thin. And especially for an athlete, somebody that can move his feet, bounce around, throw a quick jab, get in and out. I definitely think he has a bright career.
Okay. Tell me about your gym, Mayhem MMA. What do you guys do there? Is it an MMA team? Is that really what it is? What do you guys do there in Henderson, Kentucky?
Yeah, we do quite a bit of MMA. Also, we hit up some jiu-jitsu tournaments. We do some kickboxing. The goal for the gym is you have to have at least one kickboxing, one jiu-jitsu to be able to even be eligible for MMA. Mm. You got to get those nerves out. You got to understand what it takes. Everybody wants to jump into a fight, but they don't really want to, if you know what I mean. It's way different when you get in between those lights and you can really mix it up. So we require a little bit of stuff from our fight team. Everyone that's fought for us has met those requirements. We're training 4 times a day, 2 sessions a day, plus some noon classes, and then we have some open mats Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So you can train 7 days a week at our gym if you wanted to. So we're always working. I mean, that's what me and Josh have done our entire career, 15 years in. You can't do anything that takes away from the work. You just have to work, and that's what we're trying to put into our guys. Tons of 20-year-olds, 21-year-olds, 18, 19, such young guys, man. I can't hardly remember, you know, being that young. And so I'm trying to give them some stuff that took me a long time to figure out, and trying to implement that early, especially in the UFC. Guys are getting in super early now. They've been training their whole lives. So just trying to give them some stuff that took me a long time to figure out, and get them to that next level, change their lives.
I always wonder, you know, you have like Jordan Gast, who's got his gym that to me seems like it's, I guess, maybe in the middle of nowhere. No offense. I kind of think that about Henderson also. Where do you get all these guys? Where do you get all these fighters? Where do they come from?
Yeah, so we had a gym in Morganfield for a little while. That's about 30 minutes south. We get some of those guys that are coming up here since we've taken over. We're right on the Indiana line, so we get a lot of guys from Evansville, Indiana. There's three or four gyms up there, and guys will come down. We got 70 members, maybe 70 plus at this point. Plenty of guys, plenty of competition team. We probably have 20 guys that are competing either kickboxing, jiu-jitsu, MMA, and, you know, 20 to 30 more that are looking to fill the requirements. So we're plenty busy.
It certainly seems that way. Every local show I go to, it seems like you guys got a serious crew traveling.
Yeah, yeah. We got five on this upcoming FOF, and then we got another four or five that we're trying to get on the June 13th ONI with Damon Bell and those guys.
Nice. Okay. So staying very active. You're 34 years old. You said you can do this for a long time. When you say you can do this for a long time, what does that mean?
It probably depends on how much money I can save. You know, I'd like to, if I can win this title, and obviously the pay has went up, and I expect the sponsorships and stuff like that to go up as I create more of this legacy and get more title defenses under me and things like that. I'd like to be done at 38, 40, you know, if I have to, especially with bare knuckle. I feel like I could do this forever. You see Andre Arlovski in there. Ben Rothwell, Jimmy Rivera's fought in there after the UFC. I think I could do this forever. It's so much easier on the body, to be honest. It seems brutal, but it's not that bad for me, at least so far. I could change my mind here in the next couple weeks. But I feel really good. I still feel fresh. I'm still competing with the 20-year-olds, the 25-year-olds. I can still hang. So I'm going to ride it till the wheels fall off. There's no reason to quit. You only get one life. And I see no reason to stop before I'm ready.
You've been a staple of the, although you're originally from, of course, Tennessee, but you've been a staple of the Kentucky MMA scene for a long time. I did a podcast episode with Todd Neal and Chris Bowman a couple months ago, and we were doing like a MMA Hall of Fame type conversation specifically for the state of Kentucky. Of course, Nathan Maness would be right at the top. I mean, difficult to argue with five wins in the UFC. Outside of yourself, if you had to put you on the spot here, if you had to name a couple people, does anyone come to mind in particular for that conversation?
Still there?
I'm here. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I can't see you, but yeah, I'll respond.
Okay, I can see you.
Okay, I see you now. Yeah, yeah. Straight Kentucky?
Sure, straight Kentucky.
Obviously you got to put Harry Hunsucker in there.
Okay. Harry Hunsucker.
Not just for his regional wins, but also his UFC career and making it there and having multiple fights, but also running his gym now. He's, stepping up for the next generation. I think that needs to be applauded. The Ferguson brothers, I think you have Isaiah, who was one of my hardest, regional fights leading up to the UFC and, my Canada stint and things like that. BJ is still, I think he's still teaching there at Damon's gym at Triumph.
Oh yeah.
I think you have to, have the Ferguson brothers in there.
And of course, Josh in his Ultimate Fighter appearances too. He's the one who arguably made it the furthest among them, but all three of them.
I don't know him as well. Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I just haven't had as much. Yeah.
Yeah. But the three of them, I mean, especially, you know, putting them together, you can't leave them off.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And I made a post about it not too long ago.
I saw that.
If you're just talking straight fighters, Hard Rock has mentioned some guys. You know, I've been in the game a long time, but I'm not necessarily familiar with people that came before me. So I don't want to leave any guys out that I'm just not familiar with. As far as Kentucky goes, I think it's the Ferguson brothers. It's Harry Hunsucker. Maybe Chance Beck in there. Maybe Lance Lawrence.
Sure, sure.
Some guys like that. And then I start kind of drawing a blank. Maybe I'm forgetting somebody. Maybe I'm just in the moment right now.
Maybe before yours or my time would be Brent Weedman, who won a lot of fights in Bellator.
Yeah. Yeah. I did see that and I looked him up after. I think he definitely deserves it. And, there was just a couple of guys that I just wasn't super familiar with. Not that I have a problem with it. I just wasn't familiar.
Yeah. No, I think that's a very fair, response. We recorded that episode, but it was really shortly after, like within the week after, you started that conversation. What was it your post originally asked?
If Kentucky was going to start a Hall of Fame, wasn't necessarily for the fighters. It was for just anyone involved. So Todd Neal got some votes, Hard Rock, Got some votes, which I'm 100% in for. And then mostly for the fighters. So we had the Fergusons and some of the guys I mentioned, Chance and Harry and some guys like that. But just trying to draw some more attention to it, man. Sometimes guys make really big impacts on the scene and they just kind of fade away and nobody remembers. I just wanted to kind of draw that back to them.
It's certainly a cool little world we're a part of. You mentioned Hard Rock. So that's, of course, Brandon Hard Rock Higdon. Why does he deserve to definitely be in that conversation?
I mean, like a very, very large percentage of my career to Hard Rock. He's given me a lot of things. He's always been really cool with me and worked with me and not giving me easy opponents. You know, I had Brandon Sandifer, who was 3-0 when I fought him. Gave me Jason Blackford. That was a 155-er. I was going up from 35. Just gave me big fights. Isaiah, Kellen Van Camp. That was the fight that got me into the UFC. He's always never held my hand through it. Always giving me hard fights. And I think that's what I needed. I think that's what he thought that I needed. And, you know, some guys just want to fight easy fights and make it to the UFC. I wanted to kind of stay there and kind of make a legacy. And I think you have to fight hard fights. And I think he understood that. And I owe a lot to him. And I always will. I always have so much respect for Hard Rock. And I hope he knows that. And if he doesn't, I hope he sees this. And yeah, everything that I have, I'd like to give that to him. He's given me a lot.
You know the national scene better than I do, of course. I mean, you're going to, it looks like, headline this card in California next month. And of course, yeah. You fought in the UFC 7 times. And, you know, you've been around more so than myself. I've kind of been stuck here in Kentucky. How many Hard Rocks are there across the country? How many matchmakers? Like, doesn't he seem like he just controls the matchmaking for this whole part of the country? Am I wrong? I mean, is there a bunch of guys like that out there?
Yeah. When I was in North Carolina, we had Michael Allen. He ran the Fight Lab and stuff like that. It was pretty big there, but I think it's kind of went under. I don't know of anybody that's just kept it running the way Hard Rock has. He had Mark Slater in Indiana, and I have a lot of respect for Mark. He gave me a fight there with Michael Ricketts, and we have a good relationship and this and that. But I think he's kind of done now with the Coliseum Combat. I think it's just the longevity. Hard Rock knows what it takes, and he gets it done. And he's still here because of that.
Agreed, man. It's wild. I mean, he's not competing with other matchmakers. He's the only matchmaker for the area, it seems. Even the LFA comes to town, and it seems like he's got a big part in what goes on in that card.
Yeah. Matchmakes for them. Matchmakes is for Future of Fighting. Like, he is the guy. If you need somebody to matchmake, you got to have Hard Rock. And if you're starting a promotion, you need to talk to him. He knows what he's doing.
I love it. What else is going on in the life of Nathan Maness? Does your wife think you're crazy?
Yeah, but that didn't start recently. That's been an ongoing issue. I got a 3-year-old girl. She's at the gym every night with me. She's got a good outside single to mount, to arm bar. So she's working her stuff. We're trying to teach kids class and she's, "Dad, are you matching up with me?" You know, trying to throw her hands and this and that. She's 3. She can barely get around, but she's trying her best. My stepson, Caden, he's 13. He's really gotten to the gym since we've opened it up. He's really becoming a man now. He's getting in the mix. Throwing his hands. He wants to do a youth kickboxing here soon. Other than that, man, I'm here with my family, raising my kids. And other than that, I'm in the gym, and that's pretty much all I do, and that's what makes me happy.
That seems to be the case if you're 34 and you say you can do this for a long time. It sounds like you're going to do. How old is Arlovsky?
He's got to be 43, 44.
I kind of think maybe even older. Let me see.
Maybe older than that.
Yeah, 47.
There you go. Yeah.
So what you mentioned Arlovsky, and that's just one guy. I don't know if he's the oldest guy who's fighting currently. But what do you think the chances are you're fighting bare knuckle at age 47?
If things work out for me, I'm not necessarily against it. I was against the UFC career into, you know, my 40s. It's just really hard. Back and neck and little joints and wrestling and jiu-jitsu. I still enjoy those things. But it's a little different when you're depleted and you're cutting weight and you're having to do those things. Mm. I do those things out of love and, you know, appreciation for the sport. I don't have to do any of it. So I still plan on doing those things, but just straight bare knuckle fist fighting, it seems really easy to me. I've said it, you know, a couple of times. It's just kind of simple. We just come forward and see who's tougher and who hits harder, and then we go home after, and we can do that as many times as, you know, they call me.
All right. Your matchup with Jamel Herring, it looks like you guys are both kind of tall, long guys. Who's going to have the reach advantage?
I think we're both 5'10", both 72-inch reach. So I think it's pretty square on that front. He's a southpaw, which is a little different. But I fought southpaws in the past. Luke Sanders was a southpaw, Darryl Laplace, some different guys that could switch and this and that. We have a couple of southpaws in the gym. David Wright's a southpaw. He just won the Ani 135 championship, knocked his guy out in first two. He's actually been on every Ani card and knocked out everybody that he's fought. So I have plenty of southpaws that hit hard and do this and that. I don't think they do necessarily what Jamel's going to bring. You got to respect what he's bringing into the ring. I'm sure he's going to have some slick tricks that I haven't seen before, but I believe in my chin. I believe in my defense. I believe in my toughness. I feel like I've showed that my entire career. I expect to get hit. I expect to bleed. I expect to, you know, be in some pain and this and that. And, you know, I enjoy that, and I want to bring that back on him. He's 40 years old. Not that I'm a young guy, but, you know, he's won the WBO championship. He's kind of done his career. Is he willing to die for it the way that I am? I really want this belt. Maybe he does. Maybe he doesn't. If he does, we'll figure it out. And if he doesn't, he's going to get ran over. So we're going to figure it out.
You have probably followed bare knuckle closer than I have. How do traditional Western style boxers typically fare making the transition over to bare knuckle?
I think Austin Trout's the only guy that you can say that's done super well. It's a different sport. It's not the same. Bare knuckle boxing is not boxing. It is a street fight. We're grabbing a hold of each other. We're throwing each other around. You're going to break your hands. You're going to get cut very easily. We're not in 10 to 12 ounce gloves. You can't just shell up and defend your whole face. Things are different. I don't know that I have that much more experience in it than he does, but I'm used to MMA gloves, which also doesn't protect your entire body or face or this or that. I think I bring something he hasn't seen, just the same way that he's going to bring some stuff that I haven't seen. Mm. I don't know how comfortable he is with that. I'm completely comfortable with that. Show me something new and I'll learn from you while I'm trying to beat you up and taking what I believe is mine.
Have you ever fought someone where you had a reach where they had the reach advantage on you?
Yeah, Hard Rock had a 155 tournament. That was my last amateur fights. I fought Jonathan Byerly. I think he runs a gym now there, pretty close to Louisville, maybe Lexington, something like that. He was 6'2". I know he was had to be longer than I am.
Okay.
But when I can have the reach advantage and be the bigger guy, I still feel like I'm Kellen Van Camp. He was 6'2", maybe 6'1".
Okay. Yep.
Pretty tall. I feel like I got to his chin plenty fine. I feel like I'm fast for my size and this and that. So I feel comfortable.
Okay. Good stuff. Well, Nathan Maness, thank you so much for coming back on the Kelly Patrick Show. Still making time for the little guys. I appreciate that.
Thanks.
Before we wrap things up, if someone does want to support you and help to grow the brand of Nathan Maness, how can they do that?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram, Nate Mayhem 1. I do most of my work on Facebook. It's just where I feel more comfortable and I have the most interaction. Nathan Maness. I accept pretty much all friend requests if we have any kind of people in common, this and that. I haven't got my sponsorship list in order yet, so I'd like to do some shout-outs here sometime soon. But, yeah, the Mayhem team, all my training partners, my wife, she's actually going to be in my corner. She's never lost a fight since she's been in the corner. She's been in the UFC corner. She's cornered some of my guys when I couldn't be there. She's undefeated. So just get ready for that.
She's undefeated, really?
Undefeated.
Wow. That's a heck of a... How many times has she cornered? How many fights?
She cornered my last BKFC fight. She cornered me against Luke Sanders.
Wow.
She's cornered some of my guys outside of that I couldn't be there for, and she wins every time.
Wow. That's impressive. Okay. You notice when the female comes into the gym...
You got to get it together.
Right? Is there any truth to that?
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
You know, guys are sparring. It's kind of a chill sparring session. Everybody's chill. and then a female comes and sits there.
Now it's time to show up.
And now somebody's getting fucked up.
Yep.
So, okay, it makes sense. Well, Nathan Maness, you said you don't quite have your sponsorship list ready yet, right?
Right. Hopefully this week, yep.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for making time for us, and good luck next month in your big title fight.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you having me on.
Yes, sir. Thank you.